Perfect.
You gonna stand?
We'll try to stand. Yes, sir.
Okay. But my church, amen.
Isaiah chapter 59. Thank the Lord for His mercy. Thank the Lord I can be here today. This is where the Lord wants me. Ain't no better place to be than where the Lord wants you.
Amen.
I thank the church for the accommodations. It's as nice a room as you could ask for. It's the nicest handicapped room I've ever been in, really, honest. Very nice. Very nice. More than I deserve. It's a very nice room, and I appreciate it. I appreciate all the hospitality that we always get when we come here. It really surprised me when we drove down here the first time and we stopped in Arkansas somewhere. Man, them people at a rest area, man, they started talking to us like they knew us. They was total strangers. And I said, man, there's people like North Carolina here, man. And I got to Oklahoma and they's the same way. I said, man, this is good. Praise God, I like it. Just don't go no farther west. You'll be all right. Crowd gets crazy. They get strange people out that way now. They get strange. Isaiah 59, when Brother Shepherd preached last night, I knew that the Lord had been putting on my heart was the right direction. Because I know today that if there's a problem that we're not having revival, that it's not on God's end.
That's right.
Not on God's end. God wants us to have revival.
Sure He does. Yes, sir.
People act like God's this big bully up here. It's got all this stuff in His hand and He just don't want to give it. No, God's ever ready. God wants us to have revival.
Amen.
Revival stopped because people don't want revival.
Amen.
Charles Finney said, revival is nothing more than a new beginning of obedience to God.
Amen.
That's all it takes.
Amen.
You know, when I got saved, and I believe it's true still to this day, whatever God told me to do, I'd do it.
Yeah.
R.A. Torrey was in his office one day, and D.L. Moody was standing in his office. And D.L. Moody told R.A. Torrey, he said, Mr. Torrey, he said, if God told me to jump out that window right there, I'd do it. And Mr. Torrey said, and He would.
Yep.
And He would. That's testimony.
Amen.
Would you do it? I'm afraid today we're at the point we're not going to do it.
Right.
It didn't matter to me what God told me to do when I got saved. It didn't matter how radical it was.
Right.
My daddy told my aunt, after I got saved, I didn't know this till later. My old aunt told me later. My daddy went over to my aunt and he said, I think that wreck's affected his head. That's what my daddy told my aunt. Said, I think that wreck affected his head. Said he's staying in his room all day long reading that Bible.
Yeah.
Said he comes out long enough to eat and go to revival meeting.
Yeah.
Said he's going to go crazy. What he told my aunt.
Amen.
I'm glad I went crazy.
Yeah.
I'm glad I went crazy.
Amen.
And I hope I stay crazy.
Yeah.
I hope I stay crazy. I intend on staying crazy.
Amen.
If that's what gets you crazy, I'm going to stay crazy. I've liked it. It's been a good, crazy life. It's been a wonderful life.
Amen.
That's where you get the blessings.
That's right.
The Bible says in Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Father, we thank You, Lord, for another day. Lord, You saw fit to let it rain, and we thank You for every drop. We thank You, Lord, most of all for Jesus Christ, that You've sent Your Son to die for us unworthy wretches. And Lord God, that You saved us. Lord, that You've called preachers to preach the Word of God. Lord, that when we're not where we ought to be, dear God, we can get where we ought to be. We thank you for preserving your word so that we have it, Lord, from now until the time we need it, until the day you come and get us. What a blessing, dear God, that you've preserved this precious book. Lord, I pray for those, dear God, today. Surely you've not put it upon our hearts in vain. And how somebody here, dear God, needs the message today. Please have mercy and help us to say the things that's pleasing to thee. Whatever you do for us, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, he said, behold. He said, behold. Listen up. Take notice. And he said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Insinuating somebody's thinking that it is. Somebody's thinking they got a raw deal.
Yeah.
He said his ear's not heavy that it cannot hear. So somebody must be thinking that the prayers are not getting answered. But the ball is not in his court.
Right. That's right.
It's in your court.
That's right.
The ball is in your court today. And you know, people will never know what it's like to be separated from God until you've been in His presence.
Right.
You don't know what it's like to be separated from God till you've been in His presence. You get in His presence and get away from it, you'll know you've been separated from Him. And you know what's wrong with people? They just haven't been in His presence. I feel sorry for people. I'm talking about saved people. If you're lost here today, you have no hope. You hear me? This book says you're without hope, without God. You have no hope. If you don't come to Christ Jesus, you are hopelessly bound to eternity in the lake of fire. I'm not talking to you, babe. You need Christ. Today's the best day I know to come and get it. Today's the best day to get gloriously saved. You don't have tomorrow, and you don't have yesterday, but you got today. Today's the day. Behold, today's the day of salvation. Let me tell you something. I feel sorry for people who are gloriously saved and they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. What a waste of life. You know, folks, I don't want to just finish this race. I ask people, say, how you doing? I'm above the sod. Well, wonderful. Dog manure's above the sod, you know? Yeah. I mean, dog manure's all laying on top of the sod, folks. I want to do something more than be above the sod. I want to finish my course with joy. I want to live in victory. I intend on living it in victory. I'm having a time in my life. I'm telling you, I'm having a time. My victory doesn't depend on my circumstances. I'm telling you, our church, and this man's back here, burnt to the ground a few weeks ago. My pastor called and texted me and called me and said, the church just burnt to the ground. You know what kind of memories that are in this place? And so let me tell you something. My heart went to the ground. But let me tell you something. Behind that, God said, I'm still in control. I'm still in control. And I texted a lady in our church and I said, he can't burn nothing but the building. Can't burn nothing but the building. He didn't burn the church. He burnt the building. Glory to God, we'll keep right on going. And I intend to go on. And the only thing that stops this is sin. You know what stops your joy today? You know why you can't lift your hands up and praise God in here when they're singing? Sin. Hello, Tokyo. Yeah, that pride. That pride. Why else wouldn't you lift your hands up and praise God? You're just going to live forever. You're just going to live as long as God's going to live. Why wouldn't you raise your hands up?
Amen.
Well, I'm just a quiet person. Right. I promise you this. You won't be quiet when you leave this earth. If you die and go to hell, you'll never experience another quiet moment. They'll scream their guts out throughout all eternity, weeping and wailing. Wailing. You hear that word? Wailing. An awful word. Torments. The man said torments. And if you go to heaven, let me tell you something, he's got four beings up there that's never stopped praising him.
That's right.
He created four beings, and that's all they ever do, is say, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. God is infinitely worthy of our praise up there and down here. And if you don't praise Him down here, it's a sin. Hello? It's a sin. It's a sin against God. Ah, He said, them people started praising Him, and them sorry Pharisees said, Lord, shut them up. Shut them up. He said, if these hold their peace, the rocks would start crying out. I'm not going to let a rock beat me out, folks. You hear me? I'm not going to let a rock take my place. I'm going to praise God. You know what it means to be separated? I'm talking about sanctified now. God sanctified us for Him. You hear me? You talking about a blessing? God sanctified us for His glory. He set us apart. Listen to this, Psalm 4:3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for Himself. Is that not humbling? Know that God, that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call Him. That's a blessing. This is God. He said, I'm setting Him right over here just for me. Woo! I'm setting Him over here just for me. An unworthy wretch, not worth anything, but God said, I'm going to set Him right over here just for me. I'm going to set apart Him that's godly, Him that's trying to worship, Him that's trying to praise me, Him that's trying to keep sin out of his life. He said, I'm going to set Him right over here just for me. That's what God said. What more could you want? What more could you want for God to set a human being aside for Him? Not even one sin can come in His presence. Not even one. When God looked at His own Son on the cross, God said, I can't look at you anymore. The Bible said, I do always those things that please Him. Never at one time did Jesus Christ ever disobey His Father. Never one time did He sin against God. This bottle, I think this bottle got a hole in it, but you better come get it. It's going to drown the pulpit up here. Not one time did God's Son ever do anything to displease His Father. But when He died on the cross, yes sir, please. When He died on the cross, God Himself turned Him off. Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And He forsook His own Son. Do you think He's going to let your sin go?
Nope.
We come to a point, folks, people come to a point in their life that they really believe that God is going to ignore the sin in their life. He's not. You hear me? He's not. God never has ignored sin, and He never will ignore sin. Sin is what keeps us from God. Listen to this. You know what kind of life I got? Isaiah 61:3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. What a life. I go up to somebody and I got a handful of ashes and I say, sir, would you give me $250,000 for that? Would you give me $250,000 for those ashes right there? My, you can't. You can't beat what God has for us. You can't beat what God has for us. Oil for joy. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified.
Amen.
That's the whole key, folks. God wants to be glorified, and He deserves the glory. You know what the psalmist said? The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I've got it made, folks. You hear me? I live in the greatest country in all the world. I live in the greatest country. We've eaten food this morning. I'm telling you, they threw enough food away this morning to feed some of these other countries. We're not hungry. I've got more than I've ever had. I got more than heart could wish. And like Brother Roloff said, I've got more than my heart ever had a right to expect. More than I've ever had a right to expect. And the least I could do, the least I could do, is keep my heart clean.
Amen.
Keep thy heart with all diligence.
Yes, sir.
That's what he said. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You know what happens, folks, after a while? You know what happens when you let one sin in? You let another sin in. You know what happens when you start watching a TV and it's only got one cuss word? Only got one cuss word. Is one cuss word okay? Well, how many can I say up here while I'm preaching? Tell me. How many can I say while I'm up here preaching? You put me out of this pulpit.
That's right.
If I said one,
right,
you put me out of this pulpit.
Right.
But it's okay to watch them, right? Hollywood ain't changed, folks.
Right.
Hollywood ain't never been good, and it's worse now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And if you're piping it in your house, you're just like they are. That means you are relating with those people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sin is abounding.
Yes, sir.
But you're not letting grace abound with it.
Right.
No, sin's getting you. And sin's got some of you.
Yep.
And there's not going to be any revival. There won't be.
Right.
Let me tell you something. As long as it's prevalent in your life, you won't have victory.
Right.
As long as it's prevalent in your life, you'll have no relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
Folks, let me tell you something. How is it I got on my knees Tuesday morning? I say my knees. If I get on my knees, somebody's going to have to get me back up.
Right.
I was in my prayer closet. And I hadn't been praying 5 minutes. And the Holy Ghost said, you run your mouth about a preacher. And what I said was true. And it wasn't really as bad as you would think. The Lord said, you run your mouth about a preacher. And you're going to call him. And I said, all right, Lord. You know, I got that sickening feeling.
Yeah.
Like that blue light's in my rear view mirror.
Yeah.
It's just sickening. I got so bad I couldn't pray.
Yeah.
Just sickening. And I called my preacher friend. And I said, I'm sorry.
Amen.
I said, something about you I shouldn't have said to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I said, I love you and you're a friend of mine and I don't want that to change.
Amen.
And I called the other preacher that I talked to and I said, I'm sorry. He said, brother, I didn't believe, think one thing about it. I said, well, the Holy Ghost did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I want to ask you something. How come it is that when I get in the prayer closet, the first thing that the Holy Ghost does is deal with sin in my heart.
Sure.
But you can keep it in your life on a constant basis. How is that? How is that, folks? Does he have double standards?
No.
Does he okay sin in your life but not mine? Let me tell you something. I've run my stupid mouth so many times it ain't funny. It looks like I'd learned, don't it? I was sitting in a revival meeting one night. I was sitting in a revival meeting, and this guy comes in. He's got a gold belt buckle on and gold-tipped shoes and hair braided back so. And I'm telling you, I said, man, don't he look like a playboy?
Yeah.
And I was sitting there on the front row, and it was just like everything stopped. And God said, you need to go apologize to him. I said, Lord, I didn't say anything to anybody. He said, okay, sit there. That's what he said. Go ahead and sit there. You'll sit without me. And the longer I sat there, the worse it got. And I said, it ain't worth it. I am not going to sit in this service and grieve God. If all I got to do is go tell this man I'm sorry, it's going to get done. I'm not going to do it. I went and told that man, I said, sir, I don't even know you. When you came in this building, I said, I had bad thoughts about you, and the Holy Ghost of God told me to come apologize to you. And I said, I want you to know I'm sorry, and I want you to forgive me. Now, it's going to take getting honest with God, folks. Do you want God? Do you want revival? You keep playing games with God. You don't want revival, you liar. You're a liar. You don't want no revival. Sit there with sin in your heart and you have no intention of repenting. You know what you need to do with that TV? You need to put it out in the front yard and shoot it with a shotgun.
Amen.
It ain't no good. It ain't never been no good. It ain't helping you. You ain't never prayed one time and said, God, do you want me to have it? And he sure didn't tell you yes if you did. These devilish cell phones. You know what some of you need to do? You need to go right outside that door and set that thing in front of the tire of a truck. Get in it and turn it on and pull it forward till you hear a loud crunch. When you're through, put it in reverse. And then the crunch will be a little lighter. Then pull it forward again until you don't hear the crunch anymore. And when you get out of the car, go out there and look at the powder and say, Lord, thank you for delivering me from my ungodliness. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Is that what he said? If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. God's real serious about anything gets in between you and him. Is he serious?
Yes, he is.
Are you just playing games with God? Let me ask you something. Was there a day in your life that you were closer to God than you are today? Be honest with God. Was there a day in your life when you were closer to Jesus Christ than you are today? If not, if there was, what's got between you? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save.
Amen.
If you're here lost, let me tell you something. He saved a whole lot worse than you.
Amen.
You're looking at one. You want to see a testimony? He saved Rissen right here, buddy.
Amen.
He saved me. I'll promise you I'm saved.
Amen.
I'll promise you I'm saved. The night I got saved, let me tell you something. I heard these preachers, well, if you start preaching on sin, you'll kill the spirit. You're a fool. The night I got saved, there was an old man of God from Arcadia, Louisiana, named Mac Ford preaching. And son, he preached on everything that I did. Everything. He preached on long hair on men, short hair on women, breeches, shorts, TV, cigarettes, dope, liquor, everything I was guilty of, that man preached on it. And all I wanted was relief. I was so guilty, guilt was all over me. I couldn't do anything but sit there and weep and see myself a wretched dog. And when it's all said and done, the altar was filled, which is what it should have been last night. The altar was filled with people. I couldn't have got to that altar if I wanted to, but I laid my head down on the back of that pew, and I said, Lord, if you'll take me, I'll serve you the rest of my life.
Amen.
God saved me that night.
Amen.
You know what happened to me? You know what happened to me that night? When I went home, when I left that church service that night, before I even left that church service, this lady was in that church, and I used to date her daughter. And her husband had a great old big bushy mustache, and I had one. Now, don't hear me wrong. You hear what I'm saying. You hear me? That night, I got outside, and that old man of God took his comb. That old man of God took his comb. He made fun of mustaches. Let me tell you, he made fun of everything. He preached against everything. He put his comb on his ear, preaching on people with hair on their ears. He preached against everything. When I got outside, that woman was ranting and a raving. She was so mad. Her husband standing there, and he just quiet as a mouse. He said nothing. That woman ranting, raving, I just don't think he ought to say nothing about no mustache. Here I am, a babe in Christ. And I come out, and the first thing I hear is a cackling woman. You know what I told that woman? So help me God. You know what I told that woman? I said, I'm going to go home and shave mine. You know what I seen that night as a babe in Christ less than an hour old? You know what I said in my heart? I don't need it. I don't believe it's a sin, although it could be. I see these men doing this all the time. Let me tell you something. If you love that thing, it is definitely a sin. If you love that thing, it's definitely a sin. If you can't stop doing this all the time, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you think that's something that makes you something, it's definitely a sin. It's definitely a sin. I ain't saying anything about your beard. I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. But buddy, if it's a something to you that you love, it's definitely sin. And that night, I went home and I shaved. I said, I'm not going to have anything between me and the Lord. That night, less than an hour old, the first thing I seen when I walked in that room was that stack of records. And I worshiped rock and roll music. And I said, they got to go. They got to go. First thing that come in my mind when I walk in that room, I want them things out of my room.
Amen.
Want them out of here, you stupid people.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we just listen to country. We don't listen to that old rock and roll. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that good old country music. Heaven's just a sin away.
Yeah, come on now.
Heaven's just a sin away.
Oh, yeah.
How about, you know what? I bet you I got the words. One of them old songs. I copied that down just for people like that said that. I got that right here. You ain't in no hurry, are you? Let me read that old Jerry Lee Lewis. No, maybe it's Mickey Gilly. One of them reprobates. The girls all get prettier at closing time. They all begin to look like movie stars. The girls all get prettier at closing time. When the change starts taking place, puts a glow on every face of the fallen angels of the back street bars. Good old country music, ain't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to him. If I could rate them on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm looking for a 9, but an 8 would slip right in. A few more drinks, and I might slip to a 5 or even a 4. But when tomorrow morning comes and I wake up with a number 1, I'll swear I'll never do it anymore. Good old country music, ain't it? Bunch of devilish lying, fornicating, drinking. That's all it is. Wickedness. It's all wickedness, folks. It's ungodly wickedness. Ain't none of it worth nothing. And old-fashioned hymns like we sung today, old-fashioned church music, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what God said we'd listen to. That's what we're listening to.
Amen.
I don't want anything to come between me and God. You know what sin does? Sin besets us. It hinders us. It keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. And it keeps God from doing what He wants to do for us. You know what it said in Psalm 1? You know what the blessed psalmist said? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Amen.
And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Not the TV, not the cell phone, not Facebook, not Snapchat. Some of you sat on a stinking phone 2 or 3 hours a day. Is that really of God? Is God really in that thing? Is this thing not become sin to you? And let me ask you something. Are you steaming right now? Tell me. You must love it pretty much. If it bothers you so bad that you don't like what I'm saying, it must be an object of your affection. And anything that's much of an object of your affection, I don't believe God's in it. I think it's become an idol to you. And you know what you need to do? Exactly what I said about that truck. If you cannot get rid of anything God tells you to get rid of, but it's your God. I don't want anything in my life. I don't own anything that God can't have. Nothing. Nothing. If God told me to get rid of this tie, I'd throw it away today. I'll pull a stinking car with it. I ain't going to have anything that's going to offend God or even my brother. Even my brother. There's things you can't do just because somebody else.
Right.
You know why I wear what I wear? Testimony.
Right.
Testimony.
That's right.
I don't believe this thing's worth nothing. You hear me?
Right.
But I wear it because I want the world to know I'm going to church.
Amen.
I'm going to church.
That's right.
And Jesus Christ deserves my best.
Amen.
He deserves my best.
Yes.
And I want the world to know there's been a change in me. There's been a change in
yes,
me.
Ma'am.
You hear me? I've been separated.
Yes,
I'm not like I used to be.
Right.
I'm not like them anymore. I don't walk like them. I don't talk like them. And I don't dress like them.
Amen.
God set me up. Let me tell you something. I went to church 30 straight nights when I got saved. I got saved. Woo! I got saved. God fixed me. I had so much in my life, God wanted it all out quick. I heard an old preacher there. You know what he said? He said, if it's a sin for a woman to take her shirt off, it's a sin for a man. I was sitting on my daddy's front porch that morning with a pair of shorts on, saved as the day is long, no shirt, reading my Bible, smoking a cigarette. I knew the cigarettes was wrong. I knew they were wrong. And Mac Ford had that girls' home with him up there. And them little girls would sing. And we went to another revival meeting. He left that church and went to another, and we went to that one. And I went in that night, and I stuck my cigarettes in the dash of that truck. By the way, that Monday morning, a man came and knocked on my door and got me to that revival. Just keep knocking on doors.
Amen.
You may think it's worthless. You may not think it's worth a thing, but one day I promise you, you're going to run into somebody like me.
Amen.
And I was sitting there, and all I was waiting for somebody to come get me.
Amen.
I was miserable. I went and played poker Saturday night, and I couldn't do nothing. I sat there, and the longer I sat there, the worse it got. And the first time in my life, I said, I don't belong here. Just take me home. I didn't want no beer. I didn't want no dope. I was under conviction so bad I couldn't do anything but sit there and be miserable. And I'm telling you, Monday, all I needed was God.
Right.
And that day, he knocked on my door.
Amen.
Took me to church that night, and I got saved.
Amen.
We went over there to the other revival meeting where Brother Mac Ford was. And they said, we want you to give a testimony. I said, what's that? They said, well, you just need to get up there and tell them how God saved you. I said, okay. And I didn't know what I said. I don't even know what I said. It wasn't long. And I said what I said, and I went back out in the car, and I fired me up on them cigarettes. And I'm sitting there in that truck, and smoke's just a-boiling out the door. One of them little girls from Mac Ford's come over there. And I'm sitting there with that cigarette in my hand. And I'm already under conviction. I am already under conviction so bad because I already know it's wrong, like some of you. You already know what you're doing's wrong. You already know it. And I knew it. That little girl said, I heard your testimony tonight. She said, I thought it was good. I said, thank you. She said, don't you know you're destroying the temple of the Holy Ghost? I said, I guess I am, ma'am. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? She's got the goods on you.
Yeah.
She said, I'm going to pray for God to convict you.
Good.
I mean, this little girl was serious preaching. Do you know that that's all you got to be is the right vessel for God?
Amen.
God used that little girl in my life that day. It cut me to pieces.
Yes, sir.
It cut me to pieces.
Amen.
And from that day forward, I never enjoyed another cigarette.
Amen.
I never enjoyed another one. Every time I light one up, it was awful.
Amen.
I couldn't enjoy it. Every time I'd take another toke off that cigarette, it was awful.
Yeah.
And from that day forward, God just blistered me.
Amen.
Till I quit. And folks, that's the way it's been with sin in my life ever since. You hear me? God, you know, and you know what you need? You know what's really sad? Is that it's 24, no, that was Tuesday. It was 48 hours before God told me that sin was in there. That sin stayed in me 48 hours before I realized it. And I still didn't realize it. The Holy Ghost of God told me.
Right.
That's how insensitive my heart was.
Right.
I don't want sin that long in my heart.
Amen.
Now, I didn't know it. And God had mercy on me. Let me have fellowship Monday and Sunday. I didn't know it was there. But that's my fault. That's my fault.
Right.
My heart was so hard I didn't know it.
Yep.
Or I'd have knew it when I said it. Obviously, if it was wrong and the Holy Ghost told me it was wrong when I said it,
right.
And I should have been sensitive to God then. And folks, that's the time to take care of sin, the second you do it.
Amen.
And when your heart's right, when you don't have anything between you and God, that's what will happen.
Amen.
The closer you are to God, the more sensitive your heart will be.
Right.
And the quicker God will say, oh, I'll be driving down the road. If there's any place in my whole life that I will get in the flesh, it's driving. Oh, my. These morons that won't get out of the left lane. And it's every fiber of my being to keep them sinning against God. And I'll get ready to do something I ought not do. And you know what the blessed Holy Ghost will do? Or he'll say, go ahead. Go ahead. You know what that means? Go ahead and sin against me. Go ahead and grieve me. Go ahead and I won't be with you anymore. My presence won't be here anymore. Go ahead if that's what you want to do. Do it. You know how long God will let you sin? Just as long as you want. And I'm convinced there's people sitting on a church pew right now, just like that man of God said last night, you got a form of godliness, but there's no power in your life. None. None. And you don't want it. You don't want God telling you what's wrong because you don't want to get right with God. Go ahead. You know what I say to you? Go ahead. He'll let you. He'll let you. Are you really saved? Are you really saved? Why is it, folks, I cannot live that way? You hear me? I can't live that way. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not. Why would I want to rob myself of the joy that God has? Why would I want to rob myself? Why would I want to hinder those things? I'm not going to hinder that. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. You know what a weight is? I believe this is a weight. Now you can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe a weight is a sin in your life that's not yet been revealed. It says a weight, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily. That means it just keeps on doing the same thing over and over. That means this is not your first go around. That means this sin just keeps on getting you and keeps on getting you and keeps on getting you. Right. Throw it out.
Right.
Throw it out.
Amen.
Get rid of it, folks.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. If the computer is the problem, throw it out. Hey, yeah. Bring it down here. We got some men love target practice.
Yeah.
We got. Hey, you talking about a blessing? Man, you ever shot one of them things?
Yeah.
Leave it plugged in and shoot it. Poo, man, it's great. Nice. I love it. When I got saved, I gambled. Dear God, I gambled on everything before I got saved. I gambled on everything. I'd bet on anything. Anything. We didn't have to. We bet on two grasshoppers. Who's going to hop first? And after I got saved, I didn't think I was supposed to gamble no more. So the fire department came down one day, and they were selling raffle tickets. And they're going to have a brand new color TV. I said, look, buddy. I said, if my house catches on fire, I want you to put it out. I don't want no TV. So I gave him $2. He said, let me put your name on here. I said, I don't want it. He said, I'm going to put your name on here. I said, I don't want it. You do whatever you want. Guess who won? Only raffle ticket I ever won in my whole stinking life. I lost on every raffle ticket I ever bought till I got saved. And I told him I didn't want it, and I won it. They come knocking on my door, and they brought that 19-inch colored TV, and they set it in my floor. And I said, what about that? And I done made up my mind what I was going to do with it. My daddy come home. My daddy come home. And my daddy's lost. And my daddy come in, he said, well, what's that? That's the color TV. He said, where'd you get that? I said, I want it. He said, you want it? I said, yeah. I told him I didn't want it. I said, I just gave him $2 for a raffle ticket, but they put my name on it anyway. He said, well, that's good. What are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to take it out in the backyard and shoot it. He said, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no. You're not. This is my daddy. You hear me now? This is my daddy. I don't care what you say. This is my daddy. And I ain't telling my daddy that I am going to. I mean, my daddy said, oh, no, you're not. Don't take it out in the backyard and shoot it. So he stopped that. But I would have surely shot it. Believe it, folks. It was as good as shot in my mind because I wanted to shoot it. So I sold it and put the money in the missions. Woo! That's a close. And let me tell you something. If you can't shoot it, folks, sell it and give the money to missions, would you? Would you obey God today?
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you something. This meeting is going to be totally in vain for you. I don't care who gets over and preaches. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. If you're not going any further than what you are right now, this whole meeting is going to be vain to you. You just as well put earplugs in because you got them in spiritually. You're not going anywhere with God. Is it really worth it to you? Is it really worth it? One day, let me tell you something, what's going to happen. One day you're going to get a phone call. You're going to get a phone call one day like I've had before. And I'm so glad that when that phone rings that I can go in there in that prayer closet. Amen. And I ain't got to confess a bunch of sin before I can get to the Father.
Right.
One day you're going to get that call.
Yep.
And you ain't going to be able to get on your knees because of all the clutter that's between you and God. And it might be someone you dearly love and something that's dear to your heart. And you ain't going to be able to get to God. Is it really worth it? Is it? Is it really worth it? Is that sin that God's dealt with you over and over and I don't know what it is. I ain't going to sit up here and name a bunch of sin tonight, today, this morning. I could. What difference does it make? You know. Mine wasn't one sin, brother. I mean, this dude busted everything I ever did. I'm like the woman at the well. He told me everything I did. But this man of God, I believe the man of God's right. I think God's dealing with some of you right now. You know what it is. I don't want to know what it is. I don't care what it is. I don't want to know what's in nobody's heart. You hear me? I don't even like what's in mine. I sure don't want to know what's in yours. But God knows. And you know now. I believe God puts preachers. Look, I didn't come here for no offering. It grieves my heart. I don't like taking offerings. I really don't. I told this preacher I didn't want nothing. I didn't even come to preach. I wanted to be here.
Amen.
I've been praying about this thing for 4 months.
Amen.
4 months. I said, Lord, I want you to do something. I want God to move so bad in my soul. That's what I want more than anything in this world.
Amen.
More than anything. I pray, God, you take anything I got, no matter what it is. Anything. Take it. Yours. Take anything I got. Anything. Just meet with us. Meet with us again.
Amen.
Move in our presence one more time.
Yes.
Thunder in this place one more time.
Yes.
One more time. Just move again. It'll be worth it.
Amen.
It'll be worth it. I promise you. There ain't nothing on this earth worth anything compared to the presence of God. I'm through, preacher. Let's stand. I think you need to come to the piano. Maybe before we go any further, you might want to talk to God. Our Father, how we're so thankful today for your mercy. Lord, how we're in desperate need. Lord God, how this is the hour of decision. Lord, and aside from thee coming to get us, we're going to have more hours. But how we need to make, dear God, the most of this hour. Please help us now. Help God's people, Lord. Father, I pray for those that are in this building lost today. Lord, how I sat in that building lost. And oh God, please, may you touch their hearts. May the power of God come upon them in a mighty way. May they see themselves, dear God, lost as they can be. May they see themselves guilty as you see them. And may today be the day that they get gloriously saved. Touch God's people's heart today and help them, Lord, to get things right with thee. Help us to have a meeting that be pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we sing it.